Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Well, Lee, now this is going to come as a shock, I know, because nobody saw this coming. Social Security's trust fund is on track.
No.
Yes, to
You're
go broke.
You're kidding me, Tara.
By 2034.
Yeah.
Yeah, but don't worry. We'll just print some money. We'll just print the money. And I know you got an old Monopoly game in the house. Got some of that Monopoly money. Yes. My son loves to play Monopoly. Yeah. Yeah, just go ahead and use that. It'll work. That's a plan. You know, what a lot of people don't realize about Social Security, and everybody's very protective of it because you've paid into it. You've seen all that money come out of your paycheck. I get it, right? You want yours. You paid in. Well, the thing with Social Security, when it was originally passed, it was supposed to have essentially what is a lockbox. In other words, we'll take the money. We'll put it over here.
Right.
And yes. And then, you know, we'll pay out of it. And that system might have actually worked, barring some population fluctuations.
Yeah, that's the other issue.
Well, that's on top of it. But Congress has been raiding the Social Security funds for years and replacing it with IOUs that it then counts in its accounting as real money, but it's not.
Yeah, us old folks that are looking forward to this, you need to be procreating, folks, the younger generation. You're not doing enough.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, okay? And I just read this as an analysis by David Bonshin. Listen to this. The first person, to his credit, and I'm not a big fan of George W. Bush, but he did get a few things right. He wanted to privatize Social Security accounts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So we put it in the account. And the biggest argument for that is once it goes in your account with your name on it, Congress can't touch it. Mm-hmm. They can't steal it from you because that's who stole it. Well, had we done that when George W. Bush wanted to do it, the asset, just given stock market and everything that has happened, the asset allocation, even if conservatively invested, that money would be worth 5 times mm-hmm. what it was when it went in there starting 20 years ago.
And I remember the outcry, the political outcry that the left had, and some Republicans too, about this whole concept of privatizing Social Security.
Yep. Well, we now know how that would have worked. It would have been worth 5 times what you put in. And get this, this is even worse. This is how bad of a deal Social Security is and how bad they rip you, really, when you pay in. This is so incredible. You realize the average Social Security recipient gets fewer actual dollars back than they put in. And that doesn't even count the dollars loss of value through inflation. Actual one-to-one dollars fewer back than you put in. It is the worst deal ever. So, but to get back on what he was writing, had we done what Bush wanted to do, but it was defeated, that money would be worth 5 times because of the stock market performance, even with some stock market drops in there, you know, some bad years, would have been worth 5 times what it was worth when you put it in. Instead, we went with the genius system because we always do the dumbest thing in America. Yes. Always do it. We always do the dumbest thing. Instead, we are $6 trillion in the hole. So we could have had, you know, the money be worth 5 times what it was, but we're $6 trillion in the hole. Democrats, y'all. So, and some Republicans, you said, but mostly Democrats.
So we're going to keep doing what we've been doing.
Yeah. And to his credit, my other least favorite Republican, Paul Ratfink Ryan, he wanted to do this too. And had we done it when Ratfink wanted to do it, we'd be in really good shape right now.
Well,
we would not be broke like
even
this.
Even a stop clock is right twice a day. Okay. So, you know, you got to give them credit when they get it right.
I really would love, I really wish people at a minimum could be given an option. You can either pay your Social Security into an account. And when you do that, you opt out of receiving the government Social Security. So you're taking a little bit of a chance. You know what I'm saying? That there might be some catastrophe and you end up broke. But the upside is
the government's broke.
Yeah, the government's broke. They may not be able to pay you anyway. And you're probably going, you know, if it performed the way it did out of, you know, the last 20 years, you're going to come out with 5 times the value, you know, from date, you know, from the start of the money that you put in. So, I mean, it's just, we had 2 chances not to end up here. We didn't. We should have. And you can now see that in retrospect. But the left framed that as stealing the money and taking the money, when in fact they were the ones stealing the money and putting IOUs in a lockbox. A lot of
I'm
people don't know
I'm tell
that.
You, if I were going to get five times what it looks like I would be able to get monthly now on Social Security, I'd already be retired.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I mean, these are, no, but in all seriousness, like that you love the grandbaby, right? Those are that's what you could be doing. You and your wife could be driving down there. You could be hanging out.
Heck,
you
could, I could buy another house up there.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, there's so many things you could be doing. I mean, these are real moments of your life that the government has cost you. It's a real cost. It's a quality of life cost. It's all of that. Yeah. So, you know, shame we didn't do it. Shame on us for not doing that. Now we've got a real problem. We can't, we're not going to be able to print our way out of this stuff forever. This is going to be a problem. And look, while there are a lot of great things in the big, beautiful bill, I mean, game-changing things, again, the taxpayer, the tax cuts are far, they're funded with printing. They're printing money and borrowing money. That and that's on top of us, you know, heading toward the Social Security. Oh, and Medicare calamity too.
Yeah, of course.
So again, Lee, this is why the tax evasion scam, the illegal tax evasion scam of illegal immigrant labor is so bad, because you don't pay taxes on people working under the table. Where does the money come out of? It comes out of those Medicare funds, it comes out of Social Security. It's money that would have been paid in, but it's not. And where does it go? It goes in executives' pockets. It fattens up the earning reports. It's illegal. And that too is part of the reason we have got to end the scourge of illegal immigrant employment. And worst case scenario, if we truly don't have the bodies to do these jobs, I don't believe that, but if we don't, well, then you know what? You bring them out on visas and you schedule the visas so they're paying it. Make it profitable. Have them pay into Medicare, even if we're sending them home in 6 years. You pay in, you help us keep it solvent. Mm-hmm. Let's do smart things as a country instead of putting illegal immigrants on the welfare state. I mean, 1.4, I mean, this is Medicaid, not Medicare, but 1.4 million illegals illegally on Medicaid. Why? So we could print the money? And again, do you see how the scam works? Mm-hmm. Who profits? Wall Street, the lawbreakers, the people hiring them. And so it's more—it's so much more than, well, it was a misdemeanor when he came here, and then there was another felony on top of that when he started working. No, it's the tax evasion scheme that's the worst part, and nobody talks about it. That's the whole point. And folks, this is why this week NBC News shocked to find— remember the owner in Nebraska of that meat processing plant, Trump took 76 of his illegals in a raid. He's screaming and yelling to NBC News, what will I do? How will I go forward? And then it turned out his waiting room was packed full of Americans applying for the jobs. Why? Because locally, everybody knows if you're not an illegal, you can't work there. They're going to hire you. They'd have to pay taxes on you. You'd have to be above board about it. Plus, they'll have to pay you a real wage. No, it's not going to work. Well, now the illegals are gone. What? Americans are in the waiting room. They will do dirty jobs. So we got to straighten all this out. And Trump letting, you know, saying he was going to let these employers continue to break the law because they like Jorge and he's been there 25 years. No, sorry, you don't get to break the law, period. And I think Trump came to his senses and reversed himself, but it appears he has anyway. So they've at least resumed the immigration raids. They had put out a memo saying to stop them. And that was not good because these illegals were self-deporting. So you don't want to give them any hope that they're going to be able to stay here. You want them to self-deport and just get out of there. So, there's a lot of great stuff in the Build Back Better bill too. I'm sorry. The big, beautiful bill. Wow. Where did that come from? Build Back Better. That was a disaster.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, the big, beautiful bill. One of my favorite things that's gotten almost no attention, because I really think this is going to be a game changer, and Kevin Hassett was talking about it yesterday, is 100% expensing of factories up front. So you don't have to do it over 15 years or 10 years or 7 years, 100% expensing of your factory upfront. That is going to be a game changer in terms of, wow, okay, wait, I can 100% expense my factory. You know what that means for people who come here, especially foreigners coming here and building factories, but also those expanding? That, I mean, you're not going to pay taxes for years because you know, I mean, the equivalent of by the time you burn off that factory, that's wow. That's fantastic. It's going to be the first thing the Democrats target too if they ever get back in office. But 100% factory expense. I mean, that's like, I can't even wait to see how that works out, because I think you're going to see a boom in people building factories. And It's going to create demand for more workers, which is going to just, you know, push those blue collar wages up and skilled labor wages too. So anyway, just want to let you know, we don't need to be broke. We don't need to be here. It's all self-inflicted through really, really bad policy.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
So it's going to be 2 weeks to stop the spread of nukes. Why 2 weeks? With Trump? You just don't know. No, you really don't know. It could be what he did last time going into the Israeli attack on Iran, which was play a bunch of games that made Iran think, because of all his flip-flopping, that, well, maybe we do have some time. Maybe we can sit down and enrich our way right to a bomb while we talk. And then, bam, the bomb started. So Trump was actually actively part of a disinformation operation that was very much military in style. So maybe that's what he's doing now. Or maybe he actually means 2 weeks. You never know with Trump. Which used to be called flip-flopping, but now is actually pretty good strategery. But what about this 2 weeks? Ben Tableau of the Defense of Democracies was on with Pyro this morning, explaining what they can do with it.
It gives the Israelis significant time to continue to erode the long-range strike capabilities and really defang the Iranian missile, military, and nuclear apparatus. So should the president decide to enter, the U.S. actually has less work here. So this is consistent both with the president's philosophy and with the idea of America first.
Okay. Another thing that ultimately what Trump would like to do, it's good cover for him. It's good cover for the Israelis. Just good politics is for the Israelis to, Iranians to say, okay, we give up, total surrender. You can come in and destroy our nuke plants. But hey, let us live. And then, you know, hopefully you can fly in safely and do that. And that gives you moral cover too. That would be the ideal, but that's not happening. Iran is signaling, I think in part because the Euro weenies have given them an opening. Well, we'll talk to you some more. Yeah, okay, like for 45 years while they enrich uranium and lie about it, violate every single deal they've ever cut. Iran now saying, oh, yeah, no, we're cool with nuclear talks. Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, and we'll involve the Euro weenies and all of that. But they're rejecting zero enrichment. So, non-starter. Because they've cheated on all the other deals that they have done. Todd Pyro, though, asking a good question about the 2 weeks to stop the nuclear spread delay.
What do you make of the theory that this 2 week window from Trump is merely a delay tactic to allow Israel to perform a covert op inside Fordo to do exactly the same thing that the bunker buster would do, which is destroy Fordo?
Well, a covert op designed to ferry out the uranium would be 100% safer, would be 100% more secure way, because you wouldn't know if, you would know actually if the uranium was not destroyed in some kind of blast or explosion. But conversely, it comes with a lot more risks. I don't see this, by the way, as some kind of covert op or psyop or anything designed to buy time for that. I actually see it as designed to buy time for the Iranians to realize how much of a bind they are, how much they have critically lost, and how much President Trump is giving them one last chance before really hitting pedal to the metal here. To be honest, just looking objectively as an outsider, the only thing that is standing between the collapse of this regime and certain death is President Trump. So President Trump has a real capability to say it's dismantle or else.
Yeah. And General Jack Keane was on yesterday, you know, just explaining, yeah, I mean, the Israelis technically could try to go after Fordo this way, but
there are alternatives. They're just not as good. I mean, Israel can certainly conduct a ground raid, you know, secure the facility and then blow it up and try to get out of there without taking a lot of casualties. There's a lot of risk associated with that. They successfully, back in 2020, took down the power grid that supports Natanz, and a lot of the centrifuges as a result of that were destroyed. because the centrifuge has got to keep spinning. You could also take down the ventilation system and deny that, obviously, ventilation to people working there. So there are alternatives, but none of them are quite as good as an airstrike with a bomb that has the capability to deal with the deepness of this target. 300 feet into the ground is quite formidable in trying to penetrate and achieve destruction. So it is the preferred option, but obviously, as you asked, there are other options. It's just more risk associated with them.
Everybody talking about the problems Trump has, that's what most of the media coverage is on both sides of this, really. All the problems Trump has, all the risks Trump has. But what about the Iranians? General Jack Keane weighed in on that.
Well, their air force is completely destroyed. And their air power infrastructure to support it, you know, with fuel, munitions, and the things that define air power besides airplanes. They have a very small navy, some frigates, some patrol boats. They're capable of mining the Straits of Hormuz. If we didn't take out that capability, or the Israelis take it out, they're pretty much reduced to missiles in terms of some form of retaliation. But believe me, if they're going to walk down that path, given the weakened position that they are in right now, Stuart, they know full well that the United States' response to something like that will be quite massive. And I think they recognize that their regime's survivability would truly be at risk if they take on the United States as a result of our conducting this limited strike, which is kind of a one-off strike. This is Israeli operation. They have led it for the last 6-7 days, and we would be supporting them with a significant capability, to be sure. I don't want to minimize it, but it is one airstrike. At that target. We're not part of the major campaign that Israel is conducting here. And if Iran reacts to that, significantly trying to take down U.S. troops at our bases, our response will be quite consequential. And I would assume that they're very much aware of that. And they are in such a weakened position now, Stuart. I mean, the military leadership, as you know, is decapitated. So is the nuclear leadership. Airplanes have been flying over all the major cities and over Iran, the capital, Tehran, you know, 5 days, 6 days, days and nights. I mean, the psychological and emotional impact of that is significant. The civilian leadership in its entirety is in hiding. Yeah. They're in bunkers. So I don't expect them to do much in terms of major retaliation, because I think they know the risk to them personally and the risk to their being able to survive would really be at stake as a regime.
Yeah, they know one thing. Soleimani. He was the number two and Trump killed him. They know beyond a shadow of a doubt, they know this. Trump will kill you. The only question is what he'll kill you for. By the way, fascinating resurfaced interview that really can tell you a lot about what Trump is thinking here. You know that Trump had the mullahs had the Iranians on such a short leash that when they did retaliation strikes on us for killing Soleimani, you know, they called him first. They called him to let him know, hey, like, yeah, we heard you. You're going to turn our country into a parking lot if we retaliate. We got it. We understand. We're cool with it. Hey, we got to save face and respond. So we're going to fire some missiles near your base, but they won't hit your base. We just want to let you know so there's no service members outside the base when we do it. And then that's exactly what they did. And he revealed it later. And they didn't kill a single service member for the rest of Trump's term. Biden comes in, we got Navy SEALs dead in the Red Sea. We've got drones flown in right into our bases, service members being assassinated. I mean, folks, imagine these people on, off the chain again, another Democrat administration, and now they've got nuclear fissile material. Not just nuclear weapons, but the nuclear material that can proliferate. There's just no other way forward.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Yeah, he took the midnight train. So did she. It all worked out. What a great song. It's just the pure sound of America. All right. It's not the weekend yet. Still got to work. You too. So get moving. Okay. Victor Davis Hanson, y'all, really nails this.
We are at a historic time in the Middle East. Never in our lifetimes have we been closer to a complete revolutionary fervor that gives promise of normalcy for the Middle East, and never have we been in more danger of seeing the entire region blow up. What am I referring to? And that is the war right now between Iran and Israel. It is surreal. If we had this conversation 5 years ago, and I said to you, the Iranian nation that is huge compared to Israel, 10 times the population, the Iranian nation has lost all control of the Houthi terrorists, and they are themselves neutered. Their surrogates in the West Bank, Gaza, are neutered. They're gone as a Hamas, as a fighting force. The formidable, the terrifying Hezbollah cadres, they're inert. There is no more Syria, the Assad dynasty, the pro-Iranian Assyria. It's in chaos, but whatever the chaos is, seems to be anti-Iranian. There is no Shia crescent, starting with Tehran all the way to the Mediterranean. Lebanon is free of Iranian influence. So is Syria. Gaza de facto will be. There is no Russian presence. It's not a patron. It's not a protector. It's not a power in the Middle East. It's tied down in Ukraine. And Iran itself, the formidable powerhouse of the Middle East that evoked terror all over, has no defenses. And now we've seen 5 days of war in which the Israelis have systematically dismantled all of the Iranian missile defenses. They have air defenses. They have dismantled the terrorist hierarchy. They have dismantled the people who are responsible for the nuclear program. And we're down to a single critical issue. They have suffered casualties. The Iranians have sent over 400 ballistic missiles and drones into Israel. And 90% are stopped, but that 10% gets through.
Yeah, that's why we just had texture, right? The two-week delay is devastating. It is devastating for the Israelis. Because that 10% getting through, they're going to keep getting hit. There's going to be more hospitals hit, more kids killed. It's, yeah. On the other hand, it does buy time. Want to hit this again in this hour. I did it in 2 hours yesterday, but I think this is remarkable. Most of the opposition to this, taking out, and folks, we have fought so many fake enemies. I'm sick to death of fighting fake enemies. Enemies where our own leaders have to lie to us to get us into the conflict. This is a real enemy. And it's an enemy that is partnered, you know, hand and foot, body and soul with the Democrat Party. And folks, you've seen what they've done. Think October 7th. Think Houthis, 319 strikes on our military ships. Think Brigadier General warning, they're going to sink one of our ships. They are going to kill our soldiers. In fact, they already killed two SEALs. Nobody talks about that. Think about another Democrat administration. Think about another $300 billion thrown Iran's way. Think about the resurrection of each one of, you know, their you know, Hamas, Hezbollah, their other operatives. Except now they're moving against us. They have nuclear fissile material and China is directing them. That was the big reveal in the Red Sea. This was not Iran's proxy, the Houthis, hitting the ships that come through that shipping lane. 20% of the world's trade goes through there. It's critical for us, critical for Europe. This isn't just the Houthis. China was doing the targeting of our naval ships. You better believe that got Trump's attention. Again, can you imagine throwing nuclear fissile material, nuclear-tipped munitions into that? Because that's coming. And the Democrats will turn their head as our military folks are murdered. They'll turn their head as they try to kill. They will, because they did last time, Trump again. So to me, it was astonishing that the guy leading the Republican opposition to finally taking out an actual enemy of an America, not the fake ones we keep fighting. Iran has done so much more to us, killed so many. But do you realize they killed 608 of our troops in Iraq? You realize that, right? Never avenged till Trump came along and took out Soleimani. That's the only justice they'll ever get. And who is leading this? Who is leading the opposition to finally defanging this enemy? I don't want to do nation building. I don't want a single troop on their soil. I'd oppose that. Tucker Carlson. Does he have a clue what he's talking about? No.
And we're on the cusp of a war. So if Iran, if there's evidence that Iran paid hitmen to kill Donald Trump and is currently doing that, where is that? Like, what are you even talking? I've never heard that before.
Okay.
Where is the evidence? Who are these people? Why haven't they been arrested? Why are we not at war with Iran?
That's a great question to ask.
How do you know that that's true?
We know that it's true because we have been told that by the military and our intelligence community for the last 2 years.
We meaning who?
Congress has and the public. I mean, we had multiple testimonies. I can send you testimony.
Do we know the names of the people or where this happened or what they tried to do to kill Trump?
Yes. Currently in federal custody across two assassination plot attempts, Asif Merchant, Carlisle Rivera, Jonathan Lodhold. There is a fourth Iranian assassin who escaped. They think he made it back to Iran. Carlson didn't know, he claims. But this story has a happy ending. Once he was informed by the internet and Ted Cruz, well, we got an apology to Donald Trump, and Tucker Carlson says, wow, we should go to war.
In the United States.
Yes. And by the way, like Iran.
This just seems like a huge headline, and you're okay. Acting like everyone knows this. I didn't know that.
Iran put out a whole video about murdering Trump.
Right. But I've never heard evidence that there are hitmen in the United States. I mean, trying to kill Trump right now, we should like have a nationwide dragnet on this, and we should attack Iran immediately if that's true. Don't you think?
No.
If they're trying to assassinate our president?
They have been for 2 years.
Then
they
why are
we
at war with them?
Well,
because Joe Biden was too busy funding them from pallets of cash all the way on up to $300 billion plus $40 billion in cash funds they could draw down on. That's why. Like Iran wanted Trump dead. Their handlers in China wanted Trump dead. Democrats, they just want him gone. So it all works out. And it will go right back to being that way. You cannot walk away from this country. You cannot opt out. They are opting in. They're not quitting. They're not giving up. We shouldn't either. We have a great chance to take these people out. Look, folks, again, I don't want a single boot on that soil. Maybe some special forces if we have to. Very light footprint, perhaps, for some operation, but and maybe just for targeting or something. But even then, I'm not wild about it. I don't want any nation building. I'd freak out if he did that. Hit the nukes, kill Khomeini, let the let the Israelis do it, kill Khomeini, and we're done here. We move on. All of this, Victor Davis Hanson says, will be for naught if we don't destroy the nukes. And we've got this one last chance to do it. Because you can't have them. Can you imagine if Iran got a nuke? If we, delayed too long or decided, hey, we're not going forward with this, and Iran gets a nuke, can you? And the nuclear fissile material, which I'm almost more afraid of that proliferating. I mean, with a nuclear weapon, you get mutual assured destruction, folks. There is a reason the Iranian intercontinental ballistic missiles go as far as they do. Israel is on the same continent. That's not who they're for. They're for us. They're for us. Can you imagine? I mean, right now, our naval ships are out there. We just decimated the Houthis, at least the Red Sea portion of it. Israel's still dealing with the rest of them. And after 319 strikes. Can you imagine? And again, the Red Sea is a 20% of the world's trade goes through their route. Can you imagine how complicated that becomes? Because they're a proxy of Iran. They're using all Iranian equipment and hardware. If Iran's got a nuke, And I don't even know how we're going to police our container ships as they go to Europe. With a nuclear armed Iran and China doing the targeting of our ships for Iran in partnership, which is the scariest thing. I mean, when you look at this, the Houthis are a proxy for Iran, but Iran is a proxy for China. I mean, to me, one of the big game changers was in April, again, with learning. I made a huge deal of it on the show. Didn't get a lot of news. China is doing the satellite targeting and assisting in the targeting of our naval ships, our cargo ships. By the way, you know, the Houthis sunk three ships, not ours. They killed four seafarers. You throw a nuke into that equation. You throw even nuclear fissile material into that equation. You tip missiles with it. I don't even know how we protect our cargo ships. But I know this, whoever's in the Navy on those ships, God help them. You put that with another Democrat administration, they're going to come right in and take the Houthis back off the terror watch list again. And the funding will flow to them. USAID or whatever reconstituted version of it is, will make sure. Because wherever China and Iran are, you have the Democrat Party. That is one of their proxies, allies. I mean, Iran is an ally of the Democrat Party. I'm just getting started. This is a game changer. We could go the other way too, as you heard from Davis Hanson. But it all comes down to this is all for naught if we don't get all of the nuclear material.
All of this chaos and all of this war will be for naught if Iran's theocracy emerges intact from this war and its nuclear infrastructure can either be quickly rebuilt or there are elements of it that have been missed and maybe there is enough fissionable material, if not already, soon to make another bomb. So here we are at the critical point. Should Israel continue, does it have the ability to nullify the entire nuclear program, which was the object of this war? Or must it rely on the bunker buster devices, bombs of the United States? And if the United States should try to go into these key nuclear facilities and blow them up with the ordnance and the aircraft that it has, which Israel lacks, will it be fighting an optional Middle East war of which the MAGA doctrine says no more forever wars, no more intervention in the Middle East, no more ground troops? Or can Trump say, I'm not an isolationist, I'm a Jacksonian. You should have known that when I took out Soleimani in my first term, when I took out Baghdadi, when I took out the Wagner Group. I don't like to intervene, but when people threaten the United States and our deterrence is a matter of conjecture, I want to ensure that they understand the repercussions. And so is there a fight between the isolationists and the Jacksonians, or is it just a minor group of people on the right who don't want any action at all? And we don't know the answer yet.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.